Good morning to Jason Cans from jasoncans.com as we arrive at the best 5 minutes of the day. We've got three things we're going to tackle today. It is Coconut Day, and so the question on the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page and for our listeners on the listener line at 396-1670, and they're already answering, is the real question when it comes to coconut is, do you like Mounds bars? Yes or no? And you can expand that to Almond Joy if you're a nut person, because some people, you know, are like a nut and some aren't. But good morning.
Good morning. I love Mounds bars.
Ah, right. Yeah, me too.
I coconut is one of my favorites. It's one of the things I miss since going low carb. My favorite candy bar of all time is a Zagnut, which is a crispy peanut butter that is coated with coconut, and it has no chocolate at all.
You're giving me tomorrow's question, which tomorrow's question would be, what's your favorite candy bar of all time? Or if you could have one candy bar, which would you have? Which would you choose?
That's mine right there.
Good. The Zagnut.
Several years ago for Christmas, Ian bought me a whole case of Zagnuts.
Really?
They were amazing.
One of your great gifts. Now, that was pre-keto diet.
That was pre-keto. Yes, it sure was.
Wow. All right. But you can't, can you even, like, Michael bought a coconut recently. And it brought it home, and we kind of chipped away, not Mounds bars, but I mean, you can't even just have coconut?
I don't. I do coconut milk, the unsweetened stuff, but I don't do anything that's coconut itself. Like the meat of the coconut is typically too high in carbs, so
all right, we avoid it. Two early votes here for Mounds bars, you and me. The other thing is I saw the post that we kind of maybe heard it here first that on your birthday, October 25th, the release date for Letters to the Beloved.
Yeah, you know, I've been toying with, okay, when do I put it out? When do I put it out? And I was talking with Heather yesterday and just said, you know, I think that'll be a good day. You know, it has been a gift to me to work on it. And so hopefully, following the tradition of the Hobbits, I can offer a gift to the world on my birthday. So hopefully a few folks will pick it up.
Absolutely. Yeah. On your birthday and 2 months before Christmas, perfect release date. And finally, I only threw it out to you less than a half an hour ago, but what are Jason's top tips for getting good grades? Because you loved school, you did well, you got far. So what are your top tips for students here?
You know, it's good that you say that. Actually, my first semester in college, I did very poorly because I didn't know how to study. And that was a huge thing for me. It was kind of learning how to do it. And so I just jotted down a few things this morning. One of them is don't put off studying and homework. I think, you know, people sometimes think, well, I'll get to it later. I'll get to it later. What ends up happening is it doesn't get done or it ends up getting rushed near the end. Showing up. You'd be surprised how many high school kids and college kids don't actually go to class. That's often a huge marker as I'm visiting with folks about whether they're going to be successful. And they like, you know, I failed out of college. Well, did you go to class? No, I didn't. So showing up is important.
Woody Allen says 90% of life is showing up, right? So,
Right, exactly. Yep. This one may seem counterintuitive, but taking regular breaks, you know, I think people get into these marathon study sessions and it gets exhausting. And I usually tell people every 45 minutes or an hour, get up and take a walk around for just a few minutes, walk around the block. It helps kind of reset things. So that's a good thing to do. Getting enough sleep, you know, and that kind of goes together with the putting off studying until the end. Good sleep hygiene is really important for making our brains function effectively. And along with that, I think trying to eat a good breakfast, staying well hydrated, all of those kind of positive health behaviors actually have a pretty significant effect on our studying. Ask questions. You know, I think sometimes it can be seen as uncool to ask questions, to show interest in the topic. But if people don't understand something, it's really important to just say, hey, I don't understand this. You can do that in class. You can do it outside of class. put your phone aside. You know, I think, and maybe this is where that the break thing is, but when we're checking our text messages or social media every 3 minutes, it's really hard to learn and encode new information. And so maybe setting the phone aside while you're trying to actually come to the place where you're studying, and look at the phone during the breaks instead. Reading the syllabus, particularly for college students. I have a friend who's a college professor, and it's become a thing now for college professors to put Easter eggs in their syllabi, so that the first student who shows up to ask about something that's hidden within the syllabus gets some sort of gift.
Oh, is that right?
It's just because...
Yeah,
because there's so much information that's there, right? I mean, and I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Asking for help when you need it, I think, is good.
Yeah.
You know, and really doing the work, I think, is the thing. And when you don't know how to do it, to ask others.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think those were the things that really helped me, learning to take notes, which I never knew how to do before college.
Yeah. Well, so, hey, it's not where you start, it's where you finish. So those are good tips for sure. So,
right. Yeah.
And you learned along the way.
And I mean, yeah, I did. I actually read with a pen in hand now, mm-hmm. whether I'm going to take notes or not, because it mm-hmm. just helps me learn the material.
Dr. Jason's tips to getting good grades. Might as well get it here at the start of the school year. Thank you, friend, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Yep.
All right, our buddy Jason Cairns, WWIB. It is Coconut Day, so when it comes to Mounds or Almond Joy... Yes, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Oh, yes, yeah. Both.
I know. They're both good.
And I love the crunch of mm-hmm. the almond with the creamy, delicious uh-huh. coconut and
uh-huh.
chocolate.
Uh-huh.
I can do either the milk or the dark. Just I love the coconut.
It is good. It is good.
It's so delicious. And coconut, I mean, this Indian cuisine where you add the coconut milk to the uh-huh. curry, and it's so, coconut is wonderful, which is why I always thought people should have enjoyed their time on Gilligan's Island. There were lots of coconut cream pies.
I have it up on the screen right now. We have not had the audio yet, but the skipper with Marianne, there was an episode where they thought Gilligan was maybe not going to make it.
Aww.
But lo and behold, they had a coconut cream pie, which was his favorite.
Yes,
so.
And that brought him back to life.
Yep, there you go. We just gave it away. Spoiler. 14 before
Spoiler
7.
Spoiler alert.
For that 1960s show. It is Coconut Day. Our question on the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook page and on our listener line is Mounds and Alma Joy. Do you like it? Let us know. 396-1670 WWIB. You did reference, without even knowing, Gilligan's Island. And so let's go to a segment. Here's the skipper. They're thinking that Gilligan may not make it with, a disease of the island, something. And anyhow, you've got Marianne and Ginger. And so the skipper asks.
What kind of pie is this, Marianne?
Coconut cream.
Oh, boy, that's Gilligan's favorite.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we'll sure find out if he's lost his appetite with that.
Well, here, you let us know.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So we've got, I don't know, is this a life hack, getting out of a boring conversation? I mean, I don't know, is that even okay? I mean, we're Christians, we love the Lord, we're people of love. I mean, should we just sit there and listen as long as somebody wants to talk? No?
Why would we want to enable boring conversation?
Okay.
Usually people who are boring are completely self-involved.
Okay.
So, sorry. That's what I think.
It's kind of tricky, isn't it? Because, like, I tell my kids, you know, following, like, everybody's favorite subject in themselves. And so just ask people questions about themselves.
Right. So, yeah, this woman, Jean Martinette, has a few tips on how to handle social nightmares. Here's uh-huh. a few. And as I read through these, I realize people do this to me all the time. So I'm a little bummed out.
Okay.
Try the shake and break method. Smile and say, it was so nice meeting you, while shaking the person's hand, then turn and walk away without another word. Happened. It's happened.
All right. If that's too hard, I guess another one is try the offensive escape. Talk slowly, drop things, discuss the most uninteresting topics, and the person will leave you.
Drop things?
Like your drink on the person. Like, oh, sorry, you're covered in Diet 7-Up. Sorry.
All right. What's the next one?
The easiest method of moving on is the human sacrifice. Introduce the person to someone who's passing by. Use the "have you met" line. This gives you a short window to excuse yourself.
There you go. That is creative. And finally, if all else fails, beg off saying that you have to make a beeline to the restroom. Then, and if you really do have to, I mean, that would be better than pretending.
Well, I mean, if you've been drinking that 7-Up all night.
Yes.
I do have a tip. If you are chatting with someone and they're quiet and it's kind of hard to find a place, you know, a handhold, ask them about their pets. Usually, quieter people relate really well to I shouldn't say quieter people. If you have someone who's just impossible to talk to, a pet is usually a great way to get someone to talk. That's what I found.
All right. There you go. Pro tips. We are testing Halvo's powers of discernment with fact or fiction this morning. 8 statements, factoids, but they may not be strictly accurate. Let's see how he does. Starting off with this, Halvo, 65% of people say when called for jury duty, they'll try to get out of it. 65% of people will try to get out of jury duty when they are called for it. Is that fact or fiction? You think that's fact? It's actually fiction. No, about 25% of people, about 1 in 4, will try to get out of jury duty. Surveys say that men prefer smooth peanut butter. Women like crunchy peanut butter. Fact or fiction?
That is the case in our household. I'm good with this. I can go either way, but my wife is strongly on the crunchy. So I'm going to go for that. Yes.
You're going to say that that's fact?
I'm going to say that that's fact based on I'm 0 for 2.
Yeah. Well, maybe you're just non-traditional household.
How about
that's
your
fine.
Wife?
She'd go for the smooth.
Okay.
The creamy peanut
right.
butter. Yeah. So again, men like crunchy peanut butter a little bit more than women.
All right. Listen, I'm like Christian Yelich trying to snap out of this thing. You know,
Here we go. He
got hot eventually, so.
I have the easy job here. The average adult has nearly 100 moles, fact or fiction?
Huh.
The average adult has nearly 100
Boy,
moles on their skin.
That seems like a lot. The other day we had another question that was 22 times you open the refrigerator. So I'm going to say that that is, I'm going to say that that is fact.
You're going to say that that's fact?
Yes. And I am over 3.
It's fiction.
All right, my initial hunch was no. All
the
right.
average adult has between 10 and 40 moles.
Now the question is, can I get one right?
Here's one we're going to groove right over the plate because you just mentioned it. The average person will open the fridge about 22 times every day, fact or fiction?
That is a fact.
It is a fact. There we go. All right, final 4 questions here, fact or fiction on the WIB Wake Up Show. Americans eat enough butter each year to cover the floor of the Grand Canyon. Fact or fiction? Americans eat enough butter each year to cover the floor of the Grand Canyon.
Fact.
Fact? Fiction. I'm not really sure, though. Is this melted butter or is this like the pats of butter? A human hair is a million times thicker than a single atom. Fact or fiction? A human hair. These are hard.
Yeah. I'm going to say that's a fact.
You're going to say that's a fact? Absolutely
correct. 2 for 6, people. Two more.
We can go to 50-50. Fact or fiction, a giraffe can run 47 miles per hour. Uh-huh. Is that fact or fiction? A giraffe.
I think that's a little fast for a giraffe, so I'm going to say that's fiction.
Yes.
All right.
But what's crazy about that is a giraffe can run 32 miles per hour. With the neck and everything, kind of ungainly, can still go 32 miles per hour. And finally, Italians were eating spaghetti 20 years before tomato sauce was invented. Is that fact or fiction? Italians eating spaghetti 2 decades before tomato sauce was invented. You came back
the
strong.
The last 3. Christian Yelich, people. Christian Yelich.
There you go. 50-50 on fact or fiction. That is very well done. Good work.
If Christian got a hit last night, he's got an 11-game hitting streak. And he is dialed in, as are the Brewers.
Indeed. Well, speaking of Chippewa Falls, one of my fellow Chippewa Falls residents and one of my good friends, Zach Walarius, is celebrating a birthday today. 26 years old. Happy birthday, Zach, of
course. Happy birthday, buddy.
Is the son of Paul from The Drive here on WWIB. And Zach, just all things superheroes, especially Marvel. He knows the backstory and the intricacies of all of them. So if you ever are saying, hey, how is one Marvel superhero or movie connected to another? Just ask Zach.
Uh-huh.
And that probably could be a website. Just ask Zach.com. And he will explain it all to you in intricate detail. Zach, I hope you have a wonderful day. You brighten up so many people's lives. Just Zach, Zach has just a radiance about his personality that could only come from Jesus.
Very.
And he makes everybody else around him have a better day.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, Zach, we got a special 11-second song for you.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Happy, happy birthday, all of us to you. We wish it was our birthday so we could party too. Happy, happy birthday, all your dreams are true. We wish it was our birthday.
It's your birthday.
Happy birthday, Zach.
Well, science, why'd you have to go and do that to us? Recently, scientists figured out how much exercise you need to, quote unquote, offset a day of sitting at the office or on the couch. Now, we probably all know a sedentary lifestyle, and those of us who work in office settings realize that, hey, it's probably not super healthy to be in an office chair day after day, hour after hour. But a recent study suggests that just to offset the negative health impacts of sitting around all day at the office, you need about 30 to 40 minutes per day of building up a sweat just to counteract that. Up to 40 minutes of, from the study, quote, moderate to vigorous intensity physical activity every day is about the right amount to balance out 10 hours of sitting still, the research says. So again, you're thinking about maybe your 8-9 hour workday, but also if you're plopping yourself on the couch, watching TV, etc., you gotta work up that sweat. It says, however, this is the encouragement, like to give some hope. Any amount of exercise or even just standing up helps to some extent to combat and offset that sedentary working lifestyle, which you might not be able to help.
So, working early morning radio, I'm sitting now. There is a good amount of sitting. And there is walking between studios, but then another job that truthfully has a lot of time at the desk. And that's true for many, many people. But grateful for the dog walking, and you're saying anything, any steps you get.
Yeah. So again, get those steps. It says any reasonably intensive activity. So yeah, it could be brisk walking or cycling, but it could be gardening. All sorts of things can lower your risk of an early death from a sedentary lifestyle.
Yes.
I have to say, probably for me, I would say, you know what? Get up from the chair once in a while, Caleb. Just because it has wheels on it doesn't mean that you should just scoot around everywhere.
Yeah, there you go. So, do what you can to break a sweat. It's that time of year, college and, well, high school and college football, kind of a sandwich of that in the next few days. Caleb, and it starts off with tonight, nationally televised, the University of Minnesota football team opening their regular season at home at 7 against number 4 Ohio State. That is a tall order.
Yeah, a beautiful TCF Bank Stadium over there. Been privileged to go for a Badgers and Gophers game. And hopefully the home crowd gives a little advantage. I wouldn't mind seeing Minnesota take down Ohio State, but that is going to be a tall task.
Yeah.
The Buckeyes are always something else.
Now newly named, by the way, the Huntington Bank Stadium. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, Minnesota coach PJ Fleck says that they're ready to kick it off and everybody in the country ready to watch the action tonight and see things get back more to normal. I know still a lot of concerns about the virus, but nonetheless, you know, there are going to be people in the seats. And so Fleck says he knows that his team is an underdog to the Buckeyes, but he says they're going into the game with confidence. Last time the Gophers beat Ohio State in Minneapolis, 6 years before you were born.
Really?
1981.
Okay, well, time for history to eventually repeat itself after 40 years.
So in our football sandwich, tomorrow night, a lot of high school football action, right?
Yeah, and so just one we're highlighting, too, because of things that are going on off the field in a great way, is Chi-High Menominee, two unbeatens at Duray Field in Chippewa. Tomorrow should be a great game. We'll have it on our sister station, WOGO, and on Cardinals TV. But we had Coach Chuck Rakovich in earlier for the 9th consecutive year. Chi-High is going to be collecting both monetary donations and also warm winter clothing items for the Hands Foundation. Now, what the Hands Foundation does is it provides these needed winter clothing items for homeless veterans. And so everything from winter boots to warm coats, hooded sweatshirts, socks, large long johns, men's underwear, personal hygiene items, and also monetary donations to go buy warm winter boots from the Mason Shoe outlet. And so all of those are given to homeless veterans. A lot of them kind of congregate in the cities because there are a few more services available there. But the Hands Foundation does just that, gives a hand to veterans and helps them, again, with their immediate needs and then to be able to get on their feet, and a great witness opportunity there as well.
Uh-huh. And then finally, with the Gophers helping kick off college football tonight against Ohio State in primetime, the Badgers also on Fox, 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. I think their pregame show is going to precede that. So Madison always excited to get that national attention.
Yeah, and again, some Badgers football officials saying, hey, the kickoff is at 11 a.m. And because of digital ticketing, said it might cause some delays. So they say if you get there at 10:35 or later trying to get into the stadium, Camp Randall, they said you might not only miss all the pregame activities, you could even miss the start of the game. So they're anticipating some more significant than usual delays getting in there. So if you're fortunate enough to have a ticket for the Badgers and Penn State tomorrow, maybe just get a little there a little early.
Yeah, they're saying like 9:30 to 10:15 shouldn't be any problem for you. So there you go. Focus on the family, top of the hour. Well, PJ Fleck said they need confidence. So even though we had a Sanctus Real song earlier, PJ, we're doing what we can. Confidence. WWIB.